I'm joined here today by Chris Kieber, Senior Managing Director at Heinz. Thank you so much for joining us today. So as you've watched the evolution of capital sources for commercial real estate, your job has obviously become increasingly global. Is this a trend, this globalization of capital, is this set to accelerate?
I think it's only going in one direction, Zoe. If you look at the history of our industry, capital really began into sort of private markets from the developed markets of North America and Western Europe. What we see today is truly, I think, the first time in the history of our industry that it truly is global in the most fundamental sense. What does it mean? It means that on every continent, there are pools of capital today that are looking for places to invest in private markets, and specifically for us in private real estate. What does it mean for folks in my situation? Lots of travel. Because though the business is totally global, and despite the fact that we have the benefits of all technology, I think relationships are still very key. I think local access is still very important. And it's amazing to me, every time we pick up the newspaper, there's a new pool of capital that wants to be in private real estate. So it's a pretty exciting moment in the industry, and it's clearly moving in one direction, and that's more global.
So where are you seeing some of the appetite kind of come from? Are there certain geographies that are really kind of taking your time and your travel budgets up?
Yeah. So, again, traditionally, Western Europe and the U.S. And Canada constituted much of our focus. Today, of course, the Middle East and Asia could well be added to that. And in Asia, I should also include Australia, which is on its own a very important sort of investment partner to our markets. So I find myself personally spending time in North America and the Middle East. I have colleagues that focus more in Asia.
Because I know, obviously, that the Chinese particularly have been, of late, perhaps
yes,
the last 6 to 12 months, particularly perhaps insurance companies,
yes,
estate agencies.
That's right.
That's coming up much more on your radar.
Well,
then.
China is a very interesting case. I mean, it's going to be the largest economy in the world. The amount of capital that's there is astounding. You start with the state-backed enterprises, CIC, China Investment Corp, and SAFE, their counterpart. It's now come down the rung to the insurance companies in China. We're seeing, interestingly, and there's been a good amount of press about the publicly traded real estate companies in China also beginning to invest capital and begin to create a beachhead for themselves, primarily in Western Europe, and we're seeing them in the United States.
When you build international relationships with international investors, how do you begin to build that relationship? How do you initiate it, and
right,
then how do you develop it and scale it up?
Sure. So I happen to work at a firm that has a great global brand, and I think in emerging capital investors' mind, brand matters a tremendous amount. So frankly, we get many inbound inquiries about how Heinz might be a part of a new investor's program, and so really it's answering that call. And the opposite way that it happens is we'll become aware that a pool of capital is interested in private real estate, and do it the old-fashioned way: get on a plane and you know, make an appointment and go and see them. And the Heinz brand again resonates a tremendous amount. We're in 115 cities in 18 countries, on 5 continents around the world, and so we have not only sort of a global brand, but we have local offices all over the world and projects all over the world. And so we can say, oh, yes, you know, in your even if it's a new investor who I've never spoken to before, I'll typically look up what Heinz has done in their city, and I'll say, oh, yes, you might know the so-and-so building. That was one of our projects. And that creates just sort of a local intimacy that makes it easier for people in my position.
And you talk about the global brand, and Heinz has that reputation and that track record out there. But globalizing capital flows is effective for all of commercial real estate. Not everybody has the Hines brand behind them.
It's true.
How does this globalization kind of affect other people in the industry? Do you have to be a global player now? How does it affect the smaller
guys? I think as in many things in the world, the bigger are going to get bigger because of this, and that capital flows to real estate are just getting larger. So I think it means good things for all components of the commercial real estate sector, because that money flows in and it trickles down, all the way to the bottom and everywhere in between. So I think that's a good fundamental for our business. We may want to talk about taxation and sort of government influence in letting money in and taxing it on the way out, but which is a key
always,
sensitivity.
Always a
yes. But my sense is that there's the capital markets now, and this is something I know you've written about. The capital markets are fairly well ahead, actually, of where real estate fundamentals are today. That's a little bit worrisome that the money wants to get in, with such great and tremendous strength that maybe it's buying into things and bidding up things that actually lag on a fundamentals, a supply and demand perspective.
What's your sense in terms of when you're speaking to international investors? What's the sense of what's the risk appetite? What is the real appetite? What are they wanting to invest in?
Yes. So you're exactly right. When global investors seek to especially begin private real estate development, they're looking to London, they're looking to Hong Kong, they're looking to New York. And because of that, the cap rates in those cities have come down tremendously. The reason that is the case is because their investment committees know those places well, and they say, this is a good place to park money. It's a safe haven, right? What does that do for risk? Now it's become very risky to invest in what used to be considered safe assets, right? Because when you could get a 5% a yield from a Park Avenue office building, that felt pretty good when the 10-year treasury was at 2% or less.
But it's now a 3.9 or
right.
Less.
Now that it's a sub-4 cap and interest rates are now on a 10-year basis, close to 3, then that starts to look, wait a minute, we're only getting 110 basis points spread between the risk-free rate and a really active management, piece of property. So what does it do to risk? It means for at Hines, we say to people, it's time to develop property, because when cap rates become that low, when supply has become so precious, it's time to add a bit of supply. So selective markets. We're working with investors to begin new projects to create new supply, because we can deliver a building at a 8% rate and sell it at a 6% rate, and that feels pretty good.
And obviously, as we kind of looked to global capital raising, I think probably one of the biggest impediments, especially foreign institutional money coming into the U.S.,
yes.
Is obviously taxation,
yes.
And some of the hurdles.
Yes.
How much of a barrier is kind of, looking at the U.S., how much of a barrier is kind of like FRIPTA
yeah.
And the tax treatments that we have to go through in order to try and attract foreign capital?
Yes. So FRIPTA continues to be probably the number one domestic taxation problem for private equity real estate. It was put in place about 30 years ago to make sure that our country wasn't being bought up by too many foreigners. That is not something, in my view, that is a very realistic outcome. And the government sought to sort of retard investment by making it taxing the exit of capital that came initially, from foreign sources. So what I find is two sets of foreign investors. The first type are ones that are very tax sensitive and that make great use of legal and conventional offshore structures that minimize their tax impact. That has its shortcomings. Often, for instance, that means that an investor can only be 49% or less of an investment.
And it impacts your exit strategy
as well. It can very much impact your exit strategy, because certainly in the REIT structures that are being created, you're selling REIT shares, not specific assets, and it retards the total universe of potential buyers you might have.